This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the tape, please. Now, in our marriages, what we need to do is we need to let God work in our marriages. That's a very important thing. Now, pretty soon you're going to get a tape, and this is going to be built upon that tape, which is called the Sacred Marriage Ceremony. And what I did was when I was down in Texas to marry my daughter, Chad Alexander, her husband, her fiancé at that time, they were both in Sabbath services. And I knew that I would have their good attention during Sabbath services, whereas the next day when the wedding ceremony was going on, they would be all like this, and they wouldn't hear a word, wouldn't know what they're saying, I do too. So I went through the sacred marriage ceremony word for word and covered the important things with it. So when you get that, there will be a letter which has the full wedding ceremony and the tape that goes along with it. And I would like all of you to take that as a basis for study in addition to this one here, because we need a whole new approach to the things that we need in our marriage. We have too many influences from the world, just absolutely incredible influences that are subtle, and things that I am sure that all of us have in our minds, and I include myself because I've made plenty enough mistakes, and I've done things I shouldn't have done, and I've conducted myself the way I should not have conducted myself, but thankful that God is merciful and gracious and loving and kind and will forgive us. Because out of it, he wants us to grow. Out of it, he wants us to be converted. And you can never understand the good or the love until you have been down to the bottom and in the pit. Then you will understand it. Then you will feel it. Then you will be thankful and appreciate it. So likewise in our marriages. So what I'm going to do is give you a Bible perspective on marriage, and let's go back and view what God did with the creation. Because we're all created by God. Adam and Eve, by the very hand of God. And when you understand that God did not make anything else of all the creation that he did by personally fashioning it, he made everything else by command. He commanded and they were. God said and it was. But with man, let's go to Genesis, the second chapter here. God was personally involved. And this shows the nearness that God wanted to have with his creation of man and woman. And how important that is. Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now just go across the page over here to chapter 1 and verse 26. And we need to understand this, brethren, because you see, the world has no knowledge of this. Marriage to them is an arrangement or a partnership or a thing, and I'll tell you a little bit later why a marriage is never a partnership. And if you try and run it as a partnership, then you're doomed to failure. Now here, chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Everything that God created. God loved mankind so much that he made the world and all that there is for us. And furthermore, he doesn't charge. He gave it as a gift. But since he's creator, he does require part of the increase so that you realize that you have nothing that didn't come from God. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything physical, everything spiritual. Our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, they all come from God. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And he blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, I don't read any management books because I don't think we need to have management, corporate management style within the church, but I remember reading one years ago which said that the best way to get people to accomplish something is to give them a mission command. And a mission command is like we're just reading here. Gives broad parameters, and the person has the liberty to use their initiative rightly to fill in all the blanks. So that is great, isn't it? Anytime you feel that God is squashing you, you're accusing God, because God is not there to squash anybody. He gave the whole world to all human beings. What a tremendous thing that is. Unfortunately, the way they use it because of sin is not right. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And it was so. Now then, God made another special creation. And that is the woman. So we're not going to pick on the men. We're not going to pick on the women. So some of the things that I may say, if you find yourself falling short, don't take it personal, as if somehow I can read your mind, which I can't, or someone told me about something that you may or may not have done, which they haven't. But that God has set in a created relationship and order of things that is not hierarchical, though men have made a hierarchy out of it. So what he did, because you cannot have two heads. You just can't do it. So God made the man, and then he did a very special thing. And all men need to understand this, and all men need to realize this, is that God created the woman. And let's read it here. So there was nothing of all the animals that Adam saw that he named that was a help suitable for him. Verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore, and I'm sure God told him this because it's repeated in Mark the 10th chapter, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be or become one flesh. Now, the reason that a marriage is not a partnership is because the two are to become one. That's why. Men and women are different. God made it that way. I don't care if you take a man, grow long hair, put on women's clothes, give him hormones, put makeup on him, wear high heels, go drag the homosexual bars of San Francisco, he's still a male. Or likewise a woman to shave off all of her hair and put on men's clothes and become rough and gruff, she's still a woman. Just the way it is. And we need to understand that. Now then, because of sin, then God told Adam that he would rule over his wife. Now, let's understand something about rule. There's many kinds of rule. See, most feminists, when they hear that, they just go blithering cross-eyed. No man is going to rule over me. Well, the way they depict it, you know, every man is a gorilla and every woman's a toy to be smashed. So we want to change this around and not have it. So now today we have the women's lib movement and the feminazis are in full control. And they don't want women's rights. They want women's rights and men's rights. Now, I don't see that in the church, so I'm not saying that to any of you here in the church. But that's the way it is in the world, and I think some of the thinking has affected us. But a husband is to rule in love. Now, rulership means that you are responsible. You are responsible. No doubt about it. So, let's go ahead and let's talk about the responsibilities in marriage here just a minute. And then we'll talk about the responsibility of a man. The reason being is because wives seem to think it's hard to submit to their husbands. But I don't think in feeling sorry for yourselves, if that be the case, no, not all. So when I make a generality, and if it doesn't fit you exactly, don't be offended, please. Okay? Because there will be some things I'll have to say that if I said in a carnal audience out in the world, I would have to have bodyguards and an open door to run out of very quickly because I would be assaulted. So I will try and be as straightforward as I can in some of these things. But let's talk about the men. Let's go back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. So normally in sermons like this, because of the sin of Eve, the women are picked on first. But because of the sin of Adam, I'm going to pick on the men first. How's that? Let's go back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And this is very important for us to do. Important for us to realize. Now then, in going through this, I want to ask you a couple of questions before we get this. What is it that we are to have with our relationship with God? What is that built upon? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your being, correct? What is another thing that's important? Hold your place here in Ephesians 5. Because many, many people like to take the Word of God for their own convenience. Now, let's go to Matthew 7 and look at that. And while we are turning there, for those husbands who are oppressive, you're using the Word of God for your convenience, and for you wives who are not submissive, you're using the Word of God to your advantage, or misusing it to your disadvantage, however you want to put it or say it. Now, we often apply this to false ministers, don't we? Which is true. Let's read it. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, we're saying, Lord, Lord, aren't we? Yes, we are. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, doeth means to practice. Now, what is the will of God? For husbands, for wives. We'll see that. And when we find out what it is, and we really ask God for the strength in His Spirit to do it, then we will find out that it really works. Because if you believe the Word of God, which you have to, and if you pray every day, thy will be done, in whose life are you asking it to be done? Your own. your own. Now, let's go to Psalm 119. We'll eventually get back to Ephesians 5, so just hold on here. Psalm 119. Now, this is a tremendous and wonderful psalm, and it tells you that the attitude that we need to have in loving God's way and loving His commandments and loving God. See, as I talked about this morning, you have to love the truth. Not only do you have to love God, you have to love the truth, because the truth comes from God. And if you love God, you're going to love His truth. And if you're going to do the will of God and really want the will of God, then what's going to have to happen in every life is this: my life, your life, everyone. Because this is all a part of conversion and entering into the kingdom of God. You see? Let's pick it up here, Psalm 119. And let's pick it up in verse 124. Verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. Now, brethren, we always want God to deal with us in mercy. Never wish the wrath of God upon anybody, not even your enemy. Pray for them, because they might even be converted. That's why God called Saul, who became Paul, to show that He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and He will call whom He will call. Verse 125, I am your servant, give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. So we need understanding in the marriage estate. It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now, let's take that and apply it to the marriage estate within our marriages. And I don't know of any marriage that is perfect, including mine. And that's just the way that it is. And I think that if you husbands are waiting for your wife to be perfect before you'll be nice, or your wives are waiting for your husband to be perfect before you will submit, you're both going to be fighting the rest of your life. That's a guaranteed recipe for trouble. So what you have to do is this. You have to come to the point of verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Do you agree with that? In everything that God has said. That, then, is the point of deep conversion. Because you can't go along like the Protestants and say, yeah, boy, I love those nine, but that number four, you see, or whatever other commandment it can be. Now, you've probably heard me say through the years, which commandment do you esteem the least? And there was a reason that I said that, because I wanted each one of you to think about it, to see which commandment you really discounted, meaning you esteem the least, meaning that in those cases you don't want the will of God quite the way that God says. So we have to come to this point. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So we need to have the kind of rejection of the ways of the world is a false way, and not bring it into the church or into our lives. And living in the world the way it is, that's very difficult to do. Because there are going to be disappointments, there will be upsets, there will be emotions involved, there will be children involved, there will be money involved, there will be where you live involved, and all of those things will affect you very personally. So if you don't love God, and if you don't love each other, and that's the key. You've got to love each other in spite of everything. Meaning that You cannot have your love toward your wife or toward your husband conditional. That is, I will love you if. You're already dead in the water because you're setting a condition. And maybe you're setting an impossible condition because you either don't want to love your wife or love your husband. And now look at the church. How many divorces have taken place? And why? Because they brought in the world. Whatever you bring in the world into the church, whether it be theologically or in marriage or child rearing, you're going to destroy it one way or the other. Now let's come back here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be followers. Now that means to be imitating God as dear children. That doesn't mean to imitate God and exercise wrath. As dear children. And walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then it says all the things that we are not to do. And then tells us we are to follow the fruits of the Spirit, verse 9, in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then we come all the way down here to verse 21. Submitting yourselves, therefore, unto one another in the fear of God. Now, what does that mean? That husbands submit to wives? No, that means that you agree in things together and that you confer with one another on those things which are mutually done. Now, like even within the church here, we're all subject to one another, aren't we? In setting things up, Jim and Phyllis came out here and set it all up so you could all enjoy it. And I only gave them 10 merit badges for that because it wasn't too good a job. No, I'm just kidding. Did an excellent job and put forth the best that he could. We submit to it. He says, Fred, we're going to meet in this meeting hall. Fine. I submit to him on that because he made the arrangements, right? Hey. We come here and we have a potluck and we all submit one to another. We get out of the women's way when they want to do the work in the kitchen and put the meal out and we eat it and all that sort of thing. That's all submitting one to another. You see, and with a hierarchy, that's awfully hard to figure out, isn't it? Hey. In your home, if I come into your home, I'm subject to your home because that's your home. And that's what all of that means. I'm not going to come into your home and try and do something contrary to what you do because it's your home. Now let's continue on. We'll bypass the wives for just a minute here. Don't worry, we'll get back to you. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's what's so very important. Love your wife. And when you get the marriage ceremony, go over it. In sickness and health, in want or in wealth, until death do you part. Now let's understand something concerning the marriage covenant, which very few people really grasp, which is this. When you are married and you covenant with God, husband and wife together in the presence of God, you have made a covenant with God. Did you realize that? You just didn't agree to legally live with each other called marriage. You made a covenant with God. And a covenant is unto death. That's why it's until death do you part. The only grounds for losing a marriage is when there is sexual infidelity, because the purpose of marriage is to become one flesh physically and spiritually. And that breaks the covenant. Now, let's go on. Husband, love your wives. In what degree and how do you do it? Only if she's a good cook. Only if she's a good housekeeper. Only if she goes out and gets a job and makes extra money. Only if she takes care of your good car and doesn't ding in the fenders. You know. Only if she fixes your favorite food, which she may have an allergy to, you know. What? Notice, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband, as the head, is to be the one to provide, to work, to love, to oversee, to guide the household, to love his wife. We'll see a little later on, to honor her. And it takes a lot of work. A lot of effort to be a husband who properly provides for his wife and his family. And it's far more difficult kind of work than women in some cases realize. I have yet to see any woman anywhere, though she may be smarter than some men, and there some are, to be able to hold up under the rigors of work as a man has been designed to do. Now, they tried it in New Guinea. Have you ever seen some of those documentaries in New Guinea? The men sit around and smoke drugs and send the women out to work in the potato patch and take care of the hogs. And it's a miserable, wretched society. And everybody's unhappy. And so they are so far away from Christ that it's unreal. But it's a job. It is work. Because, you see, though a man will not necessarily express the emotions the same way a woman will, and he won't, so don't expect him to, you know, God made him that way. That's just the way it is. And sometimes he'll keep a lot of things inside and won't say a lot of things because he's mulling over a lot of difficult decisions and things that he's either working on at work or having in mind for the family or things that he's going to do or wants to do or desires to do. And you see, and in loving his wife, he's got to put forth a great effort. Just like you say, you have to put forth a great effort to submit to him, you see. But if you love your wives, and if you love your husbands, that and loving God together, that is the best foundation that it's going to be. Now notice, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, and that is to provide everything for her that'll be nice, that'll be lovely, that'll be good, to give her the means to do the things that she needs to do for the house and for being that part of the one that you are becoming. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, that's spiritually speaking. I wished all of us could have no spots or no wrinkles, but you know, that's just the way it goes. We get spots and we get wrinkles and we get gray hair and we get all of these things that come along, don't we? Yes. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought. Now, I want to explain the word ought here. In the Old English, that meant you were under obligation. You have an obligation to God. Men are obligated to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loves his wife loves himself, because the two shall become one. And that's important to really understand. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And the first time I came to understand that, I said, well, now how can we be a part of the spiritual body of Christ through his bones? Understand his flesh, because he gave his body as a sacrifice, right? Well, what do you mean bones? And finally, it dawned on me. That goes clear back to the creation of Eve, who was created from a bone or a rib from Adam. So the woman was created from the innermost part of man, right close to his heart, because that's where she should be, you see. And likewise, Christ did the same thing. He is creating the church from the innermost part of his being. Are we not called the body of Christ? Yes. Are we not called the bride of Christ? Yes. Then he repeats what it is here. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And I've heard women in the church say, well, I don't know about this reverence bit. Well, we'll explain that when we get there. We're saving you for last, ladies. No, I'm just kidding. Let's look at some things that are very important which a man has to look to in building the house. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 127 and verse 1. Let's look at some of the responsibilities that a man has. Psalm 127, let's begin in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. Now that has to do with your marriage too. Because when you're married, then you build a house, do you not? Or you buy one or whatever it is, and what you're doing with your lives are building it, correct? So you need to build the house of your marriage, God's way. And it will work. No doubt about it. Just because maybe your parents failed, or maybe you've seen some in the church that never had the knowledge that you have in loving God and loving each other to build a marriage, and they're not successful, don't worry, there's still hope for them. They could still come to understand. You know, a person can change in heart and mind and attitude anytime they really repent to God. That can happen. So don't let anything build up in you for anger as a man, or hostility as a man, or bitterness as a woman. And women tend to be more bitter and keep things in the back of their mind a whole lot longer. And what is that going to do? All that's going to do is sour your attitude and destroy your relationship. You know, you want God to forgive you, don't you, through Christ? Yes. Well, then you do the same likewise with your husbands, your wives, your children. And if it involves your mother and father, then that too, you know, that's all part of it. Because you want the Lord to build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen work in vain. And doesn't this sound like it? Doesn't this sound like the way the world is today? The rat race so many people live in. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, drive on the freeway, you know, go to work and do all these things, and eat the bread of sorrows. So why can't we have some happy marriages? Now, happiness is also going to have some disappointment. We can. We can. We need to do it. If we do it God's way, it'll happen that way. Now, let's go back here to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And in building the house, what you need to do is this. Now, I remember an evangelist who bragged that when he got married on his wedding night, that he took his wife in the bedroom, and he took off his trousers and threw them down on the ground and said, "Now, I am the head of the house, and if you can wear them, put them on." What a wonderful, loving way to start a marriage. The worst thing in the world. There's also a noted evangelist who bragged about spanking his wife. That's not God's way. You won't read in the Proverbs anywhere, when your wife is upset, thou shalt spank her. You know. All that is just a distorted fixation on power. To be a husband and head of the family is not a power position. It is a leadership position by creation to serve, to build, to love, to become one. And that takes a lot of work. Now here, First Peter, the third chapter. Let's talk about the men for just a minute here. We'll come back and we'll talk about the women later. It does say here that, yes, it says, likewise, you husbands, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I'll just have to say this. Those who need anointings run about 7 to 3 women out of, say, 10. Women are the weaker vessel. Now, when you're young, you may not think so. But you still are. Does that mean that all men are strong? No. There are some weak men, too. And there are some strong women, too. So if you as a woman have not yet married and you have a strong personality, don't marry someone who's going to be Milquetoast Joe. Because it won't work. But if you marry him, you're bound to life. So then you have to make it work under a handicap. That's why you pray and ask God to provide you with the right husband and with the right wife so that it can be blessed of God. See? Because she is the weaker vessel. Now notice, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you're going to have family strife, husband and wife competition and fighting all of the time, guess what? Don't count on very many prayers being answered, right? Doesn't it say? They'll be hindered. See? Okay, let's go on, see some things that a man has to do. Now let's come to the Proverbs, because men have to apply themselves as well as women. We'll see that women have to apply themselves too. Now, as I covered during child-rearing, Want to cover something here. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 16. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and verse 16. And a man being the head of the house and provider. When I married Rochelle and Chad, I told Chad, I said, now I'm going to tell you when to say I do. When I go through that you're going to love her, to honor her, to cleave to her, to cherish her. When I say provide for her, you say I do. And I said, I will blink and my eyes will come up dollar signs. Okay, Proverbs 10 and verse 16. To be a husband and a father and the head of a house, and head of the house, as I mentioned, it should be rulership with love, kindness, consideration, and all of that. But here's what it is. Proverbs 10 and verse 16. The labor of the righteous tends to life. And the reason that he does, and you need to understand, men are work oriented. God made them that way. That's why they get into careers. And sometimes if they have to change careers later on, support them. Because sometimes they do. in all the things that we have gone through, if Dolores didn't love me and support me, we would have never made it. I don't mean support me in the sense of going to work, but support what has to happen because you love him. That's important because it is labor. Now let's come to verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, and that's what needs to be done to have your marriage strong, but you have to do it the way of the Lord. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You can apply that right to a marriage. You bring sin into the marriage by not having the right kind of marriage, not being the right kind of husband, not providing to the best that you can. And if your husband's providing the best that you can, don't browbeat him. Encourage him. I'll tell you one thing that is so, so very important. Men, though they like to give the effect that they are strong, that they don't have too much emotion in it, they do need encouragement from their wives. They always do. We'll get to that a little bit later. Let's come here to chapter 12 and verse 24. Proverbs 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. So a husband, in doing what he's doing, he has to be diligent in it. And any man who loves his family, loves his wife, he doesn't have to be told to get up and go to work, because he's always thinking about that. He'll get up and go to work because he wants to provide. He wants to do. But then it says, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, if you marry someone, if your husband is a lazy sloth, then you're always going to have difficulty. Then you will never get some of the things that you want. And I'll tell you this, all the browbeating in the world isn't going to make him work harder. So men, in your responsibility as the head of the house, and to do that, you must set your goals to work, to improve yourself, to build your career, to be the best that you can be in the things that you're doing, and being the husband and the way that you can be, loving your wife, be diligent in it, and God will bless you. Now let's come down here to verse 27. 1st part of this, the slothful man rolls not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. In other words, the slothful man is always looking for a handout, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. There are people who, through a period of time in their lives, because they work, because they're diligent, because they apply themselves, husband and wife working together, that they're able to then build their own families. They're able to increase in their personal possessions and things like this. And if you get personal possessions, don't set your heart on them. Enjoy them while you have them. Take care of them while you have them. Use them to the betterment of the family and everything. But the substance of the diligent man is precious. Now let's come to chapter 11 and verse 23. All of these things have to do with the work of the man. Verse 23, Proverbs 11. I turned the wrong way. No wonder that wasn't there. Proverbs 11, 23. The desire of the righteous is only good. Now that's what you want with your family, isn't it? That's what every husband wants. And he's going to fail. He's going to have defeats. He's going to have setbacks. He's going to have trials. You think you have trials at home with the children? Try his boss. Turn around the other way. You know? Because that's true too. See? And for the sake of providing for the family, maybe the father has to do something that really he might not really... He may be good at it, but he might not be the kind of expert that he would really want to be, and he really wants to be, but because of certain things he can't be. Well, he needs your encouragement and support in that, so he can grow and increase in his abilities through life. That's all a part of building the house, building the family. Now, you can tear it down, many other things. You can just put in your notes there, read all of the Proverbs concerning the slothful and the lazy and the indolent. You know, and you can see that in families where the husband is slothful and lazy and indolent or just doesn't care. I'm talking about beyond being, say, just discouraged because of something that comes along. I'm talking about those who are just neglectful and have no sense of responsibility. Well, then everything deteriorates and falls apart. So I don't know of any case of that here, but I'm just saying that in general. So in marrying, make sure that you know the husband and wife, you know the one you're going to marry first before you marry them, because, you know, once you marry, that's it. That's it.